We are waiting on the vote to take place in Washington in the House. You heard a few minutes ago that did happen. And we're joined by our Congressman, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, just off the... Did you go to the floor? What was vote like? So you went into the House, you did the vote as normal, or how did it work?
It was totally not normal, if you could see that way. No, there were, the word got out last night that Thomas Massie from Kentucky was going to object to voice voting the bill. I literally got a text message from Mike Rogers from Addison saying, we've got to get a quorum here. And the quorum's necessary because that's the last thing that he could call upon. He could say, there's not a quorum here. Well, a quorum of the House did show up, and I can tell you I was in there and you could count them. But because of social distancing, we had to be, like, in the galleries and all over the floor. It was like members sprinkled out everywhere. So we went in there. We had speeches. I don't know if you saw. We had 3 hours or more of debate, and I was a participant in the debate. And then when we got finished, Thomas Massie stood up and said, let's see exactly how he put it. He said, I want to ask for a roll call vote, and you have to have 20 people, I think is the number, to agree with him to do it. And he didn't have that, and so he said, I suggest that there's not the presence of quorum. And the chair looked around the room and said, I disagree. The motion can't carries. So after 3 or 4 hours of debate, it took us about 5 or 10 minutes to actually vote it and get it done. But it's done.
So
on its way to the president.
So, and President Trump has talked about. I mean, no question here. He'll sign this. But so you had to go to Washington for just that, for that
yes.
vote. I mean, just and I, then it's over.
I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, drove to the airport, flew to Washington, and sat there to make sure we had a quorum so that this bill could get to the president. He could sign it. We could get the relief to the people of America. But under our rules, one member has the power to do that. Now, I flew. I was talking to a lot of people that drove for like 9 hours. Long, long, long drives to get here. But we got the quorum here to make sure that we got this bill to the president. This can't wait another day. We need to get this done. And we did.
I can't imagine that the invitation list for parties going forward will include Massie, because people understand Massie out of Kentucky, a Republican here, and the president has been really upset with him today, saying he should be kicked out of the Republican Party. What's your feeling?
Well, I'm always loath to kick people out of the party because I like being a big tent party, but Thomas has pulled stuff like this before. He doesn't have good common sense about this stuff. There's stuff in this bill, Sean, that I don't like. I don't like at all.
Right.
And I've sort of, said my piece, and everybody's had to hear me out about some of the things I really don't like in it. And probably everybody in that room had some things in that bill that they didn't like, Democrat and Republican. But, we had 3 million people in America last week file unemployment insurance claims. I've talked to dozens and dozens and dozens of businesses in our district that are in distress, and this is absolutely extraordinary times, and we have to come forward with some extraordinary relief. And sometimes to get that relief, you have to put, it's like sausage making. You got to put a bill together that's got stuff in it that I don't like and others don't like. But the essential stuff that we needed in it is in it, and it will give relief to people.
Now, I mean, in the future, I'd love to see, those things get left on the floor from both sides and have agreement, the things that you could agree, and I don't know if you can, but some basic tenets agreed to by Democrats and Republicans, pass that out and then go back to work on the stuff you disagree. But I know that's not the way it works. But
they had to throw some pork in there, which made me pretty mad because it was totally unnecessary pork. And there's some things they threw in there to try to help unions that had nothing to do with coronavirus. It made me pretty angry that had to be thrown in there. But the worst stuff that Pelosi had in that 1,400 monster of a bill that she had, they were able to keep out the worst stuff. But the fact that they gave in on these other things is truly maddening. And I just, I've heard from a lot of people who are concerned that the unemployment insurance provisions are too generous. Not that we shouldn't have had some in there, but they were too generous, and there's some good arguments to be made about that. I certainly understand that. But at the end of the day, you get a piece of legislation like this in an extraordinary circumstance, and you got to go with it. This is not 2008 and 2009. The companies that are being affected here have not brought this on themselves. This is something that was caused, you know, something was brought on them by outside circumstances. And we just can't crater the economy and crater the quality of life for everybody in America when we have an opportunity to try to cushion this very substantial blow that we've got here. So there are plenty of things I can tell you I don't like about the bill, but the central thrust of it, the things we really needed, we got in.
If you're just joining us, talking to Congressman Bradley Byrne, just off the vote here for this, do you call it a relief bill, a stimulus bill? What's the proper nomenclature on this?
No, I wouldn't call it a stimulus bill at all. It's like a cushion bill. All this can do is cushion the blow that we know has already been felt out there to try to get more money to individuals, the actual tax rebate checks, but also enhance money for people that are that have lost their jobs so that they make them as whole as we possibly can. And to get money out there to small businesses in a way where they won't have to pay it back if they keep people employed, to keep people from getting on unemployment insurance, to make sure that we've got some help out there to the bigger employers, the 500-plus employers that are in affected industries. But it's not a bailout. It's their loans. They have to pay them back. And then to make sure we get the money out there to the health care system in many different areas so that we're responding to this in a very robust way. And I think this bill does that. So, like I say, there's some things in here I don't like. I don't know why we had to throw a bunch of money at the Kennedy Center.
But
that's the sort of price you pay when you have 435 people in the House, 100 people in the Senate. Some of them are crazy liberal and some of them aren't. And you have to catch all these people together to get a piece of legislation through on an expedited basis. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, I wonder, is there ever a time that, you know, when we get on the backside of this, that whoever put that provision in there or whichever members of the House did, that they could be named and we could have their names?
We know about the Kennedy Center and Senator Leahy.
Leahy put that in. Okay. All right, so that was specific.
If you want my support, you got to put, I think it's $25 million in for the Kennedy Center.
So Leahy, I like to know these things. That's good. I'm writing that down so we know who, in a time of crisis, is doing that. Because I think you make a fair argument. And this is one, you know, you could come at this, Democrat or Republican, and argue about how much money and what percentage it is in unemployment insurance. I think that is a fair battleground of discussion. But the Kennedy Center, that's beyond the pale. This is, I mean, we're trying to save people's jobs, keep their lives solvent. And he's getting $25 million. I'm writing that down. All right.
And you know, they threw in a bunch of money in there to buck up the post office department. The post office department's not being dramatically affected by this disease. I mean, there are billions of dollars in here for the post office that are totally unnecessary in response to coronavirus. So we've got stuff like that's in the bill, and it's infuriating to people like me that just want to put the stuff in there that we have to have in there. But the way people have been playing this game up here for years, you know, they just expect they get their stuff. I mean, I didn't sit down for one single second and say, I want you to get something from my district. I want you to put in an extra $5 million for something from my district. But other people have done that, and particularly senators have done that, and we're all having to live with it in order to get this relief to the American people, which is so very important at this point in time.
All right, Congressman, I'm getting a lot of questions here on the text line, so let me run through a couple of these, because I would point out, too, that a week ago today, when you were on and you talked about what this could look like for small businesses, you started a bunch of discussion. It's continued through the week. When you joined me this week, we talked about it more, and it continues now to get this week. You're ahead of it. This week has gotten a lot of attention. All right, this texter says, question for the Congressman, what is the rate, and I guess he means on the loan, is it a blanket payout? Why would the minimum wage to $17 an hour employee want to seek out work if they're paid over their current rate?
Oh, they're talking about unemployment insurance.
Yeah.
So the idea is that we want to make people who've lost their jobs, and we have, obviously, we had 3 million new people look for work, say they needed work last week. We're trying to get them as close to being whole as we can. Now, in some states, there are much more generous unemployment insurance benefits than they are in a state like Alabama. So the idea was to try to get people as close to where they should be as they can. Now, my argument was all along, we'll figure out what they were making and get them up to, you know, higher than they are now, but maybe not 100% of what they're making now. But in order to get this money out there quick, they said, no, if we do that, it'll take forever to figure out how to implement it, and then it'll be too late to help people. So we're just going to send out $600 extra per week to everybody on top of what their state benefits are. I don't particularly like that approach. I understand the need to get the money out there. I think they could have done that in a little different way. But I guess in the sausage-making over the Senate, that's how they decided to do it.
Well, I mean, if we look at things like this, either the one-time payment or the unemployment hike in wage, states like ours, I mean, we win on that. You know, I've said $1,200 carries a lot more buying power in Mobile County than it does, you know, in San Fernando. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we win on that one, but it's still not it doesn't make it right.
No, and I'm not arguing that. And what we want more than anything else is for businesses to stop laying people off.
Right.
That's why we put this small business provision in there. So small businesses will quit laying people off and actually bring people back on. Because if they bring them back on by April the 1st, they'll qualify for these loans that will be forgiven if you've got it for payroll. So we're trying to stop the layoffs because we want these firms to be intact when we get over the hump here so they go right back to business. If they lay all their people off and just, you know, start winding down, then that means they're not there to pick up the slack when we're ready for them to pick up the slack. You know, a restaurant that closes down, lays all its people off, how long will it take for them to reopen again when we're ready for them to reopen?
Well said. Yeah. So explain, and I know you've done it a couple times, but there are always new people hearing it. Explain, like, in regular folks' language here, which you're good at, what this means for small business. How does it work? You go to the banker, get a loan, kind of walk us through that process.
Yeah. Every bank in America is going to have the authority from the SBA to make these loans to businesses with less than 500 employees. And the loans will be there for the firms to use for payroll expenses for, like, group health insurance, for salaries, for mortgage interest, for rent, and for interest on debt that occurred before February the 15th. So the idea is that you get the loan from your bank, and if you use it for those purposes and don't lay people off, or if you've laid them off, you bring them back on, then that loan will be forgiven. It'll be like a grant. And that's the incentive for people not to lay people off. That's what we want them to do. We want them not to lay people off. Now, I've been on the phone on some conference calls with various business groups around the district trying to make sure we get this information out there. And I've encouraged people to go see their bank. And unfortunately, people went to see their banks. The banks called the SBA office in Birmingham. The SBA office in Birmingham said, well, that bill hasn't passed yet, so you can't do that. So that's just part of the frustration of what we're dealing with here. And I was on the phone with the man that runs SBA in Alabama yesterday to make it very clear to him what this legislation says. And I told him it is going to pass. So now he can't argue with me because it is for sure passed. And we'll get signed by the president. So what we want people to do is these small business people go see your bank and start working on these SBA loans now. I know the banks don't have all the information they need, but start the process now because the quicker you get that process started, the quicker you're going to get your money.
Okay, and they're going to know, I mean, you said they don't know everything now, but they're going to know a lot more than I do, right? When I go in there, I can say, hey, I'm here for the small business loan, and then they'll tell me, I'm sure, what papers I need to bring with me. And
well, they're going to say, all right, we're waiting for guidance from SBA. They're going to say that first. But you already have a banking relationship with them. They need to know, this is where I am in my business. I would think that would help the banks to know where their customers are. And that initial meeting will help kickstart the process. Now, the law requires SBA to have that guidance out there in 15 days. We know they're trying to expedite that. And so the quicker we get all this out there, the quicker all these businesses will get the loans and keep people going. That's what we need.
Okay, because there's so many questions here. I can't, but have to have them directed maybe to your office.
If you're a small business, go see your bank.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling people.
And and we have just about 30 seconds left here. The turnaround for the one-time payments, we heard Mnuchin say maybe 3 weeks. You believe that?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, I think they're going to push as hard as they can to get it done in 3 weeks. He's told us that, and I believe him. I think he's going to do everything he can to make that happen. Now, he's pushing on a bureaucracy that can be hard to push on, and so let's see if he can do it. But he's wed to it. The president's wed to it. In my experience up here, if the President and the Secretary of the Treasury say, by God, we're going to do it, it gets done.
There you go. Congressman, thank you for your time. Thanks for the update. And we'll talk to you again really soon.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne joining us from Washington, and we continue hour number two of Midday Mobile. News is next.